Okay, folks, first and foremost, have we any apologies tonight? Councillor Craig, Councillor Quinn, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Brown. Okay, councillors. Okay. Just as chairperson's remarks, first and foremost, I wish everyone here a very happy new year. Hopefully it'll be a prosperous and a healthy one for us all. There are two people which I feel we should meet or mention. It's not something I tend to do, is to mention individuals, but I would like to mention Mars Hayes, who was in his time an ombudsman and a former CEO of Down District Council. So I pass my condolences on to his family. Also, the death of former councillor, a Kilcoo man, Frank McDowell, who represented the Newcastle area and again was a very well respected member of the old Legacy Down Council. So, on behalf of us all, I will be sending letters of condolences to the two families. The only other comment that I have to make at this time, over the last few days, I have been asked by a number of councillors to accept motions. The motions were not delivered in time to be accepted for this council meeting, so therefore they won't be heard. However, there was one motion, the one which we received from Bombardier, and I know all councillors would have received this. It didn't arrive in time to be heard. I'm not going to accept it as an emergency motion. However, as Chair of Council, I have spoken to our Chief Executive, and I have asked that a letter of concern be sent to both Theresa May and the Secretary of State, if we find out who he's going to be, he or she's going to be. Oh, is it she?
No, no.
That we send a letter of concern, and then at the February meeting, we will have a full discussion about the situation with Bombardier. So at this moment in time, I'm not opening it up for any further discussion.
Just for clarity, sorry Chair, I take it that letter is on behalf of the full council.
It'll be on behalf of the councillors, the full council. It'll be sent on behalf of the full council. Okay, have we any declarations of interest? Councillor McMurray? Councillor McMurray,
I 12, the correspondence from the EA. I have an interest in that, so I'm going to leave.
Okay, your interest has been noted. Okay, we will move on to item 3, which is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 4th of December. And Liam, would you like to guide us through that?
Chairman, again, most of the actions have been undertaken and are underway. There's a number of responses to a number of the letters that has been issued on behalf of the council. But Chairman, I'm happy to take any questions rather than through them, please, by please.
Has anybody anything in particular they would like to ask, Liam? Are you all happy, Councillor Andrew? Sorry, Councillor Byrne.
Your leg not working,
though. Are the legs working? Sorry.
Thanks, Chair. On the first action about the meeting with Rainbow House, I know in the minutes of the council meeting, that is the next item, the Chief Executive had said that he'd meet or liaise with them that week, which was the start of December, and I know time is of the essence with them because they're out of the premises in March. I just want to know if that meeting has gone ahead, any contact with the NRC, and if there is contact, when will the meeting go ahead?
Chairman, I need to check on that there. I know we've been working through the DEA councillors. I know the current chairman herself wasn't keen to be involved in that, so I haven't know whether this detail or data has been got, but I can go back to the council for.
Can I ask that we make contact with them as soon as possible? The 12 weeks they'll be out of their premises.
Yeah.
And the reason when it was brought up and put in the action sheet, as we see in the minutes of the next meeting, that it was stated that they would be contacted that week, that's 3 weeks ago. So I would ask that it would be done urgently.
Again, we can check that, Chairman, see what has happened there.
Okay, Councillor Andrews, did you want to raise something?
Councillor Riley, is it?
Councillor Riley?
Yeah, thank you very much. It was just on Mr. Wilkinson's report. I have asked that I investigate the opportunities for the council in regards to recycling and that, with us leaving the European Union. And he did say that he would look into that, but it's not recorded, and then either on the recommendations or the minutes.
Chairman, I'm just dealing with the action sheet at this point in time.
The action sheet there, Mr. Wilkinson, to provide the following list of upgrade plans for years, because obviously if we're going to be able to drastically amend how we recycle and collect our waste as a result of leaving the European Union, that would influence that. It could save us a significant amount of money. That was why I raised that issue.
Chairman, I certainly we can get Mr. Wilkins to go back. You're not there. Apologies. If
that's all right, then. Thank you.
Thanks, Henry. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. Just in relation to the tips, I do welcome the fact that the letter was sent on the 15th of December, and I thank the Council for supporting it and the motion, but I do look forward to a response to hear what the DSC have to say. I think at this stage we need to flag up concerns about the whole process of PIPs, the assessment processes which are used, and I think realistically the system that's in place at the moment is fatally flawed, but I'm waiting on response from the DSC. I think we need to fight people's corners even further. It's just a bad day.
Okay, councillors, I don't see anybody else indicated. Sorry, Councillor
Burgess. Sure. On page 2 there, the very first item on page 2 was the estimated timescale for the disabled toilets at Saintfield Play Park. I don't see any action taken or any progress to date. Where are we with that? Because that is needed.
Chairman, I think there's a report brought forward on toilets and in terms of the work programme for toilets at the RTS committee meeting, Chairman. But again, I said, Councillor Wilkinson, or Mr. Wilkinson, to phone you about that there early this week.
Yeah, but can we not sort of get it up and running again, or at least get it open? I know the toilets are done, but something's better than nothing when you're busting.
Chairman, we'll come back to Councillor Burgess on that.
Okay, councillors, and I haven't missed anybody else. Okay. Item 4 on the agenda then is the minutes of the council meeting which was held on the 4th of December. And we will take it page by page for accuracy first. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and page 14. Can we have a proposer and seconder for Councillor Stokes and Councillor Burgess for accuracy matters arising?
Just a very small point on accuracy. Yeah, just on the second page and the point that I was talking about in the action sheet. Rainbow Community wrote out to all councillors, not councils. So just a small typo there that's very, very important to change. When they sent a letter to all councillors or most councillors, it's then that they sent it to most councils. So just an important thing to change.
Okay. Item 5.
Chairman, maybe just can I, in response to Councillor Savage's query regarding the car park at Patrick Street. I think it was access from the sports centre onto Monaghan Street from that there. Again, that's the issue with that there is there's work being done on the curtilage on the far side. But again, I asked Kevin when we're looking at the future use, you know, that we're discussing the use of the car park between the trust, the college and ourselves, that we need to look at who's going to take responsibility for opening and closing the gate, depending on how we transfer it, and for salt in the car park. So hopefully we'll be able to deal with that there in the long term, Councillor Savage.
Chair, just in response to that, my understanding is that the fencing, there's now permanent fence put up there this week. I understand there's a temporary construction fencing. It may be something that could be looked at. It's just in relation to those from the Patrick Street, Barcroft area looking access on foot.
Yeah, and the issue over security, but again, what we're going to do is when we're dealing with the future for the car park, we'll address that issue when we bring back the final paper, Chairman.
Okay, councillors, item 5 on the agenda is the minutes from the special council meeting which was held on the 27th of November. Again, page by page for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, and page 5. Can we have a proposer and seconder for accuracy,
yes,
please? Councillor Purges, Burgess, and a seconder for accuracy.
I'll second that.
Councillor Riley. And then matters arising. Councillor Riley.
Yeah. It was just on the issue of where NI Water had dug up in the past. And where roads haven't been properly reinstated. It's getting to a really acute stage in many areas, like the Cardinie Road, the Head Road. And I don't know how we're going to get around it now, because they're deteriorating to such an extent that cars have been wrecked everywhere. I know there's a general pothole issue right across the district, but certainly I was going to ask the council for a meeting with Mr. May directly to put our concerns to him, because he was the guy who said, sent a letter to the last meeting saying that the roads are fit for purpose in Mourne, when clearly they're not. So if the council would agree to that, man, I'm sure I'd be very grateful if that was possible. I'm sure Glenn would second that.
I would second that there. It's because the minor roads around our area is actually falling to pieces. And for Mr. May to say what he said, even about the upgrade of the A7, and he said there was nothing wrong with it, I think the sooner we talk to him, the better.
Yeah, sir, I know, appreciate certainly there was quite a lot of items raised by councillors that, but I do think, what are the expectations? Are they going to get back to us, from a corporate point of view, and answer the questions? Because I know if we take Transport and I, and the day we sat down with them in the council chambers, they'll have any response, you raise issues. I know some of them maybe being put on the long finger, and there are issues that would be demanding, I suppose, time, but it would be nice to have some sort of feedback, so maybe we should inquire what format are we going to expect, because some of the issues that we raised that night are ongoing and need to be dealt with. I know when I raised the Carrick Primary School in Bourne about a bill, and the senior manager couldn't take senior intervention there, but I've no word at all from them,
I'm sure if we get a meeting, we can get the party representatives that are going forward to take the concerns of all our colleagues to the meeting for discussion.
The point is that we shouldn't have to go for a second meeting.
Yeah. Chairman, we can follow up, Chairman, if you want. I could send the minister to Water Service to say, can any issues that weren't raised, can they send us back our written response on them?
Sorry. Councillor Casey, you want to come in there?
Yeah, it's just on the issue Declan has raised there for them to get back corporately. Well, to some extent they have done, to some of us. Especially the issue that was raised, I know quite a number of recently councillors raised the issue of the foul smell coming from that treatment centre in Greenbank. Now, they did identify the problem and they have invested in it, and they say they have cured the problem, hopefully. But the fact remains is that it's a system that was designed for half the capacity that it is coping with at the minute. So the looks of things are going to have to reinvest a huge amount of money to bring the whole system up to a required standard, because with twice the normal capacity that it's dealing with, there's going to be problems on a regular, continuous basis.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, and we're all happy to move on to item 6. Which the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 13th of December, and again page by page for accuracy. Page 6. page 1, 2, and page 3. Can we have a proposer and seconder for Councillor Stokes? Seconder for Accuracy, Councillor O'Murray. Matters arising? Everybody happy? Okay. Item 7, the minutes of the ERT committee, which was held on the 11th of December. Again, page by page for accuracy, and Marie has joined us here at the top table to answer any questions. So, page 1.
Yes, Chair.
Accuracy, just give us a minute.
Okay,
we'll start again, page 1, 2, 3, 4, page 5, 6, 7, 8, page 9, 10, and page 11. Can we have a proposer and seconder, please, for accuracy? Councillor McAteer, Councillor Burgess. And matters arising, Councillor Kern.
Just on page 1, Chair, not mentioned in attendance. I'm going to look down the rest of the receipts that I'm spoken to.
Thanks, Chair. Just in regards to the item about the open funding call in regards to tourism events, Chair, as you can see from the paper, there's a difference of opinions in regards to which scenario we would opt for. I had proposed that we opt for scenario 3, which would basically safeguarded our major festivals, our epic giant of festivals, and also at the same time increased the revenue for the voluntary sector, so they to enable them to grow their festivals also, and particularly as an option on scenario 3, there's an extra 30,000 for additional festival tourism festivals for the district for the voluntary sector to deliver that. At the first workshop, and bring some members back, there was a number of workshops, but the first workshop, I felt that, and I think Councillor Byrne also felt that it was important that we give extra revenue to some of our major community festivals and voluntary festivals, like the Soma Festival, Fiddler's Green Festival, Blues in the Bay Festival, where they're running a voluntary capacity and run in a really great manner. They're growing all the time, but I think it's important that we allow amount of revenue so they can continue to grow their festivals at the same time as councils growing their corporate festivals. And so the scenario 3 allowed that to happen without us cutting into our major events such as the Wake the Giant, the Festival of Flight, City of Merchants Festival, Footsteps in the Forest. They are major festivals for the council, and the council has a vision of growing them festivals into international events to attract international visitors and also national visitors, particularly the likes of the Footsteps in the Forest attracted major visitors from the south. In fact, I think from the documentation received by the committee, there was over 60% of the visitors were from the south, which is what the corporate plan, our corporate plan, and indeed our tourism strategy is trying to deliver. I just feel that we go for scenario 2, particularly in the current climate where there could be a reduction in regards to funding coming from Tourism NI. We don't know what budgets are going to be coming from that department at the present. And so you could see a number of these festivals being seriously jeopardised. And actually, it could almost kill some of these festivals at a time when we're trying to grow the festivals. So I would propose that we do go with scenario three. I think it's the best option. It supports our corporate festivals. It also supports the voluntary sector and growing their festivals, allowing some of the bigger festivals that have highlighted there to apply for up to £15,000 funding. I think that is the best scenario in moving forward. So I propose we go for option scenario three.
Okay, thanks for that. We need a seconder for that. Councillor Hannah's going to second that. Councillor Enright, your light is on.
I have a second point arising, but do you want to deal with this first?
Okay, do you want to... we're going to deal with this item first. So, councillors on who want to come in on this item, Councillor Byrne, you're still red, so I take it you want to come in on this item?
I do, Chair, yeah.
Okay.
I agree with some of the things that Councillor Clark had said, and at the meeting, I think we were both in agreement with a number of the points. It's just the level of funding, and that's why we proposed scenario two. First of all, before I go into it, I want to correct two corrections on the minutes here. It states, when I was talking, that I added that Wake the Giant and Summer Festival as fantastic events as council-run festivals. I was comparing council and community-led, so it's not just the Summer Festival as a community-led festival. It wasn't a comment on just the council-run festivals. But also, and probably the most... the biggest point for correction is on page 9. And I had argued this in the committee, and it states that this board confirmed that scenario 2 was a cut to the budget, which would enable council to grow events. I find that Lane is completely misleading. It is not a cut to the budget. I had said it at the time, and we had a long discussion where people come back in, and we had a discussion for about 40 minutes on this. We have increased the budget from last year on these festivals. We have brought forward at the rates for tourism workshop that I was at. We have brought forward a number of ideas for growing the festivals this year with an increased budget for the tourism. I think it was up to 1.2 million. That was, for example, festivals like to go from 1 day to 2 days. That was the Guardian of the Mourns Festival, increased funding to a number of festivals across the council-led festivals from last year. So to say that scenario two was a cut to the funding is totally misleading. And if it is in there, it has to be stated that it's a cut to the proposed budget that was for this year, not a cut to the budget last year, because it is extremely ambiguous how you read that. I made that point at the meeting, and I'm disappointed that it didn't make it into the minutes. The reason why I said scenario two, when you look at the... We asked for a breakdown of the festivals. We asked for a breakdown of council and festivals at the ERT meeting. We got it. Now, I do appreciate, and I said at the time, that some of the feedback was from telephone surveys that was less than 100 people, but about under 1% of the people that went to the festivals, and we're getting feedback from that. But we had an economic report on the festivals, and there was some of the community-led festivals that were 3 to 4 times better off than the council-run festivals. My problem is the exponential growth of council-led festivals compared to community-led. I was extremely annoyed at the Rates Tourism Workshop, the first one, where we start using the dangerous language of community festivals are not, shouldn't come under the tourism budget. It was this language that only council can run tourism events. We did start talking about voluntary contributions, and then there was comments talking, voluntary contributions shouldn't be in that. It is totally separate from this tourism budget. We're talking about a budget of 1.2 million for tourism. The council do not fully own the right to run tourism events across this council, and they have to work in tandem with the community run festivals as well that are running very successfully over the last number of years. The figures that were given to us at the first festival, or at the first rates meeting, was a 92% to 8% split, and I think everybody across the room wasn't happy with that. We've added more money into the budget, and we really think, you know, year on year we're cutting the funding going to community festivals. I used the example of the Pride Festival. 3 years ago the Pride Festival got £12,000 in funding. That's a cut of nearly 60% over 3 years down to 5,000. So if we're cutting community-led festivals by 60% and we're increasing the rate of council-run festivals, I feel it's completely unfair. The growth of council festivals is exponentially compared to the community-led festivals, and I disagree with that. And that's why they put a proposal of 85-15 at that first meeting and asked for a paper to be brought back. Now, that wasn't plucked out of the sky. That figure was not plucked out of the sky. I spoke to a number of groups that draw down funding from this. I've asked and I've spoken to the director of ERT, Marie, and Marie feels that the groups were happy with the funding that they're getting. I get a different message from these groups. Any more funding that is available, they would happily apply for and would be able to show a return on that. I think the options that were brought back, and I will apologise, I was out of the country. I was in India at the time when the options were brought back in the paper. I think the options were brought back to try and show that this can't happen. To state that if we're looking for an 85-15 split, that the council's cash flows and the programme that we've put forward, the ambitious programme, will completely collapse is ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. And then if you say from option three, from raising it from 105,000 up to 135,000 or whatever, that it will have minimal to no impact on the running of the festivals in the council, yeah, up to 190,000 would be catastrophic. I think it's a decision that we've asked for a breakdown of the figures and to see what could be put forward from the council festivals. All we want is to support
and we should be working hand in hand, and I think option two was a good option for those in the
Councillor Warren, no one actually cut your mics out. There seems to be a bit of a problem with the mics. So anybody, and could I just ask everybody, that's fair enough, could I just ask everybody when they are speaking to speak up, because we do seem to have a problem with the microphones tonight. So the next councillor that is in...
Thank you, Chair. Do you want to end? Chair, I think I'm going back to the meeting. It was really about a fair split. I can wait. I'm in no hurry.
It's okay, Councillor. Councillor, just please.
Chair, I did take the time to take a look at some of the figures coming here today. And in 2015-16, we had an overall budget of 465,000. Now, we've increased that threefold, 277% to be exact, to where we are at the proposals for this year. The council events budget has increased fourfold, 390% to be exact, whilst the non-council events that we support have decreased by a third to 65%, of what it was in 15-16. And the economic impact that we were given at the end of 2016 shows the council events and how they performed. The council events had an impact of 9.2 impact to spend. And while the economic impact for non-council events was 34.5 impact to spend. So we shouldn't sort of disregard the non-council events when they are making such an important economic impact to the district. There's almost four times more impact from the non-council events, but we are cutting this and boosting council events. And for that reason, I do believe that at the meeting we went with the right option, option two, and that we should be supporting community-led events, festivals that contribute so much to it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Carr. Councillor Hannah, I apologise again. It's the lights, but the floor is now yours, so carry on.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to second the proposal as indicated earlier on. On this, I actually believe Marie has got had it pretty well. So she has. We do need an increase in money to give any new festival an opportunity. We do need extra money. At the moment, yes, all them festivals are doing exceptionally well, but we do need to grow our whole tourist package. And actually, Marie has a very, very tight criteria that everything has to fit into. So, on Pete, on yours, I don't know how a whole lot of the festivals will fit in, to be quite honest with you. They have a lot of boxes to tick, so I have on this one. It's a very, very tight criteria. Now, I know I have one festival in mind I think should be supported. Marie knows that, but Marie has also told me that there's no stampede of festivals coming around the corner. So everything that Councillor Clark has said, I would pretty much agree with there. And I said, increase to 135,000, that's what the DUP will be supporting. So, well, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. I don't see anybody else indicating. So before we take a vote, I would hand over to Marie, if Marie wants to make any comment.
Chair, the only thing that I would say is we've set the paper out. We've been through a number of workshops. I think it's very important to say that if we make the decision on Scenario 2, that we will not be changing the format of our festivals on last year. We will run them as we did last year, which was a very successful year. We will look to do some enhancement, but we will run them as we did last year. And other than that, the only other thing I would say to members is, when looking at the economic impact assessments, you have to remember that the economic impact as set out in those is demonstrated in its entirety on the spend that council makes. But when you're looking at the community events that are very successful, the economic impact is based only on the amount of money contributed by council, and it's not an accurate reflection on the true total cost of spend, because we don't know the total spend, so we don't know the true economic impact at a ratio of pounds spent.
Okay, councillors, we have. Sorry, Councillor Byrne, you put your questions to the director. This has been debated repeatedly at workshops. We have two proposals in front of us now. One is that we would go for Willie's proposal, which is that we would accept Scenario 3. That was proposed by Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Hannah. So there are only two proposals in front of us. So if we take a vote on that proposal first. Everybody happy? Yeah. Okay, so those in favour of Scenario 3, Councillor Byrne, we have all been at these workshops. This has been discussed both at if you haven't, I'm sorry, Laura, but every councillor is invited and all parties have representation there. So if you feel that the director has said something that is incorrect, you can certainly take that up. I'm sorry, Councillor Byrne, we're going to the vote. Okay, we have a scenario in front of us. We have a scenario in front of us now where we have been proposed and seconded that we would accept Scenario 3. We need to move this on. So all of those in favour of accepting Scenario 3, please indicate. All of those against Scenario 3, please indicate. So those who are we need to then take a vote on those in favour of Scenario 2.
No, just
the way it's
standard motion.
If
you need to propose
okay.
And second,
then it's going to
agree.
So those in favour of Scenario 2?
Unless there's something else comes up in the minutes, but maybe, sorry, Chairman, just to clarify the point, there's been a recommendation to change the recommendation of the committee, which was to go for Scenario 2. It's now supposed to go for Scenario 3. That's been lost. So Scenario 2 stays in it, but I want to get agreement that Scenario 3 is the agreement, and then we can take the rest of the minutes, because there's other discussion points coming out of other parts of the minutes.
Mm-hmm. We need agreement then that we're accepting Scenario 2. All of those in favour of Scenario 2? Okay, and all of those against scenario two? Okay, so scenario two has been carried.
I actually abstained on that, and the reason I did, because my colleague Glenn Hannah here did point out to me that if we go for the 190,000, there could be a massive underspend, and that would be money lost to both.
The vote's over,
Madam Chair, but I just wondered, can we get some assurance that all the money will be committed one way or the other?
Councillor Riley, you'll have to talk to the director afterwards, but the vote has been taken, so unfortunately it's over. Are there any other items arising, Councillor Enright? What was your item on that?
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm just noting on page 10.
Councillors, could you please keep the noise down, Councillor Enright?
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm just noticing on page 10 of the minutes. While I welcome the acquisition of the derelict lands around the PSNI station in Downpatrick, I'm concerned that we are not doing it in an open manner. I mean, this acquisition of these lands is a transfer from one public sector body to another public sector body and should be open to public scrutiny and discussion. I'm particularly concerned that...
Sorry, Councillor, that item was actually taken in committee, so...
The point I'm making is it should not have been taken in committee because it's not a commercially sensitive operation. It's,
well,
it's a transfer of land between two public sector organisations.
We will have to go into committee. Need a proposer and seconder to go into committee.
I have a separate point to make on that.
We need... Yeah.
It's a general point to make.
If you're talking about anything, this is a private matter, so if you're talking about anything that is sensitive, it has to be in committee. If you just say and you don't feel that that shouldn't have been in committee, we can note that.
The design of lands in the around the PSNI station in Downpatrick are critical to the future of the town.
You can't do that, Cadogan. I've already explained. If you want to discuss this, we have to go into committee. Do you want to go into committee for this item?
Well, I know the design is coming
up. Okay, if you don't want to, you're not prepared, you don't want to go into committee for it, we can't discuss it any further. Okay, we will go into committee at the end of the meeting, Cadogan. So if you want to raise it at that stage, we have an item which will be in committee and I'll allow you to come in again at that stage. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, sure, we get that sent, so we'll get a copy from Owen and send it.
Okay, councillors, and there's nothing else arising in ERT. We're moving on to Councillor Byrne. I know your light is broken, but just try, can you put it off? Yeah. Item 8. Is the minutes from... Okay, councillors, settle down. The minutes from the SPNR committee meeting, which was held on the 14th of December. And we will take it again, page by page, for accuracy.
Just Chairman, I think it's an apology being a part of Councillor Jarvan, which wasn't noted, so I'll raise that before he raises it.
Okay. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and page 8. Can we have a proposer and seconder for Acting Councillor Savage, Councillor Burgess? Okay, have we any matters arising? Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, I have a few comments and questions in relation to Paper 15, which was the strategic settlement hierarchy presented at SPNR. And I know there's a lot of... I made a proposal on that at that meeting for Cross Midland to retain its town status, and seconded by Councillor Herty. And I know there's been a lot of talk over the last couple of weeks on it, and I know there's been a comment from the council as well. And I suppose I want a few things clarified on how we got to that point, because the questions that I asked at that meeting, I know Mr. Hayd said that it was reclassified based on feedback, but there was nothing else clear on that meeting. And as I went through the paper, there's more and more questions that I just want to get asked, so I'm going to use the opportunity here now. Council did provide a comment to say that the paper was information only and not a recommendation. And I am aware that the paper was a preparatory study, but it's also a preparatory study to provide evidence base for preparing the LDP. And what it did say was that based on the evidence that Cross Medina and other places, Newtown Hamilton as well, was to be reclassified or proposed to be reclassified based on the studies that were done. And there were a number of things that were looked at. The settlement hierarchy does inform the future distribution of development across the district, and that's why I think it's extremely important to get to the bottom of why the paper had come in front of us in the first place. As the paper stated, it's vital that the evidence base, and this is the words of the paper, that the evidence base is both reliable and comprehensive. I find that the evidence is both unreliable and it's certainly not comprehensive. We are told that all the 88 settlements that were in it, and I know we're looking at the settlements from the previous area plan, the Banbridge and Airy Moan area plan, but the settlements in this, and I suppose just to make a small note on why I want to go into detail of this, we had a planning application that I had spoken, and I know Councillor Murray had spoken as well, where we looked through the previous area plan and finding out where was these decisions taken. And I remember speaking to Anthony McKay about it, and it was just simply a shrug of the shoulders, and we don't know. This is the first time that the council's, what I believe, the first time that the council's feed into it, so I want to make sure that we're over every really small decision that was made. All the settlements were appraised and evaluated against four things. The infrastructure wheel, which is the hierarchy of settlements, there was the diagram that was given on it. Six tests of the housing framework, the NISRA review of statistical classification, and the 2011 census. Now, if you look at the infrastructure wheel, Cross Midland, if you're talking about reclassification, and using all four items, Cross Midland is on level two of the infrastructure wheel in all six segments of the wheel. Now, level two designated urban centres and smaller towns. Certainly wasn't level three. It is all the facilities of level two, every single one of them. So if we're looking at, out of one of the four, the infrastructure wheel and the hierarchy of settlements, Cross Midland passes that test with flying colours in town status. In my opinion, many of the six tests under the housing evaluation framework would also be met by Cross Midland in ability to grow on that. The NISRA report was an outline of population bands, and it seems to be where I feel all the focus was put on. It's a simplistic view, and I felt the paper was a simplistic view of, let's make sure that all towns are above 2,500 people. So we have, if we're going by the NISRA bands, everything above 2,500 people is a town, and below 2,500 people is not a town. There's a problem with that. Population cannot be used to determine hierarchy of settlements. It says that in the Regional Development Plan of 2035. It says that in all, even through the paper. It repeats it through the paper. It actually goes so far as talking about populations in isolation as well. Certainly cannot be reclassified based on population alone. So if we take it out of the four tests, I've already said that the infrastructure wheel had passed with flying colours. We only have three other tests. We're talking we can't reclassify on population alone, and the housing evaluation framework, which I have said that we meet all six tests in my humble opinion, then we're only going down to the NISRA review of statistical classification, or if we're looking at the census data. Now, the fact that the paper says, and it states very, very clearly, these are the exact words in the paper, population alone doesn't dictate positions. Sorry, Henry. Population alone doesn't dictate positions in hierarchy. The paper states clearly that population alone is assessed, or population not alone, sorry, is assessed alongside one, the range of facilities. That's the infrastructure wheel. So that's dealt with. Two, the ability to serve the surrounding hinterland. So if it's not taken solely on its own in population and it's assessed alongside 2 points, which we've already made, the case for them 2 points, then I can only. Sorry?
Councillor Byrne, can you just sort of get to the point? Because yes, I'm looking at the paper here, and it has said very clearly, you know, that all members have been advised that if there are any issues, that we should be contacting Mr. Hay to look at these.
Yes.
It was my understanding that the proposal was to retain Cross Midland as a tier two small town, which is surely what you had wanted.
It is, Chair, yeah.
So I'm not really sure the point of it. Can we just get to what your point is?
The point of it is the paper that's presented to us. I have a number of questions I had asked. I'd asked Mr. Hare a number of questions, and I've yet to get a response. And I think it's only fair to afford the 5 minutes to go through of how we've got this paper to be put to us. Because we're going to go through the local development plan. And sorry, I'll be brief. I'll be 2 minutes.
You've already had a couple of minutes. That's fine, councillor, but every councillor has 2 minutes. And
I think it's very important. If we put down with one more point.
Yeah.
I will come to the workshop, Liam. I'll come to the workshop.
Yeah. The issue is that this is for ratifying these minutes, which is what we have
it
done.
It is for ratifying the minutes, but
we can
put forward questions.
You don't want to change the action. You are happy with
it. No, I want answers to certain questions that I'm going to ask right now.
Well, you're not
as important
able
questions.
To get them here tonight.
We've got the director of FP&O here, so I can ask these questions and get the answers to them. I think it's important that we come to these council meetings and we can check forward.
Chairman, refer to the minute of the meeting where Mr. Hay, who's in charge of the development plan, invited any comments from members and to meet with any members on it. There was members' workshops on it, and again, that's available. We're not going to be able to answer these questions tonight, so I suggest is what Councillor Byrne does is do what Mr. Hay asked him to do, is have a meeting with him to go through the paper if he's so anxious.
Liam, to be fair, at that meeting I put forward a number of questions to Councillor Hay, which I'm yet to get response for. The response is one line, and it's there in the minutes. Cross McGlen was reclassified in this paper based on feedback. I want to know what the feedback is. And if I can't get through all the different things, if we can't get through what was based on population, and I'll bring it up a councillor here. He had said that there was settlement appraisals. I'll ask one question that I want Doreena to follow up for me, please.
Councillor Byrne, if you want to... Sorry, councillor. If you want to ask one question that we can answer, please do. Anything else has to be directed towards councillor Mr. Hay. So please ask the question and then we will answer it and then we have to move on because you have been talking about this now for a couple of minutes.
It's very important to me. Settlement appraisal reports are being produced. That's what it states in the paper, are being produced for each settlement. That is consideration of the 6,000 tests, whether there's constraints against expansion. If them reports are being produced and they are not finalised, how is that paper put in front of us if it's only based on population alone? I will ask, could I have them reports, when they're finalised, sent to the FP&O committee so we can look at the settlement appraisal reports?
Okay. Liam, do you want to respond?
Just, Chairman, maybe it's worthwhile for members to set out the process here. We're involved in the development plan process, which takes 2 to 3 years. So before anything is agreed by the council in terms of development plan, both of the categorisation of settlements will take a number of years. It will need us to develop a strategic document, which will then go to public inquiry, which will look at the issue of our settlements. So it's still part of a consultation process. So the council has begun that process. It held a workshop where all members were invited for. At that workshop, what was presented was the regional development plan, which set out Cross Midland as a town. As feedback from the members' workshop, it came down to reclassification.
Incorrect.
And
that's the workshop. And that's incorrect.
But, Chairman, can I
ask?
Sorry, Councillor Byrne, please, let Mr. Hannaway finish.
Let Mr. Byrne finish. I'm suggesting is that the workshop papers were brought forward. They were brought forward to the Strategy and Policy and Resources Committee, of which you made a recommendation to change that, which was agreed by the Council. That is the document that will go forward.
Yep.
For each of the settlements, there will be categorisation. It is a process we're working through. There has been a number of workshops on population, on housing, of which all members are invited to come along and contribute to it. It goes through that paper, it goes through the next meeting, and when the preferred options paper is agreed, it will be brought back to the Council to agree before establishment. So members will be involved at every stage. This is us bringing together feedback, papers together based on the feedback that we've got from the members that attend the meetings and from our independent planning analysis.
And the simple question was, what was that feedback? The appraisal reports are not finalised. I would rather the officer's just come around and say it was a mistake that this paper came to you. It shouldn't have come.
Hang on a minute, Councillor Byrne. This is a working process. The Chief Executive has explained the process. It's in your minutes that Cross na Glen was looked at, it was discussed at a workshop, it was discussed at FCNR.
It wasn't, I'll ask for the minutes for that, because okay, it wasn't discussed.
Well then, we will try and get you those minutes for that meeting, but we're going to move on because we have discussed
it. Do not scrutinise, do not ask questions, just now.
Councillor O'Murray?
Yep, from where? I unfortunately wasn't able to make FCNR. The workshops are on during the working day, that being a teacher, I can't attend them. My understanding of it, having contacted the council, was that this was the outworkings of workshops and this only the beginning of a process, that there was still public consultation to go through. There's still the people of, say, Cross and Glen, or people in Newtown would still have a chance to have their say about their own, the future of their own areas. That's it.
And that is our understanding. That is correct. Okay, any other items they're raising? Any other items? I'm sorry, I'm not discussing this anymore. Are there any other items on that SPNR which we want to raise? Okay, we're all happy. We're going to move on then to item 9, the minutes of the active and healthy communities. And again, we will be going through page by page for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Can we have a proposer and seconder, please, for accuracy? Councillor Walker and seconder, Councillor O'Murray, for accuracy. And can we have minutes arising, please? Matters arising?
Thank you, Chair. It was just a question, a quick question on the financial assistance. It stated there that the open financial call won in January 18, call won in any when is that opening? Any particular date, just?
Michael?
Chair, I don't have the date in front of me. I'll get you the exact date. I'll send that through to you. In fact, I'll send it through to all councillors. Chair.
Okay, that's great.
Okay. Councillor Byrne, you wanted to come in? Sorry. I think Councillor Murray, your light has come on. Councillor Murray?
Yeah, there was an excellent presentation that night from Contact NI, Mr. Comiskey. It was about, you know, a quest of trying to reach zero suicide in that. And it was just anyone that was there that night, I'm sure they were deeply impacted upon it or that. And it was just maybe a recommendation just to see what would Council be able to write a letter of support to Contact NI or that there, or what was the way forward out of that.
Okay. Do you want to write a letter of support? Yeah. Okay, well, we will take care of that. Okay, any others? Councillor Byrne? It's this week, isn't it? The 17th. Okay, councillors. Sorry, we move on to item 10. The RTNS committee meeting held on the 19th of December. Same as usual, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and page 11. So can we have a proposer and seconder, please, for accuracy? Councillor Taylor, are you proposing?
No.
Anybody proposing and seconding for accuracy of the RTNS? Nobody agrees with the minutes. Stevie, Councillor. Councillor Burns. Have we a seconder for the RTNS? Councillor Casey. Okay. Councillor Taylor, you want to write? Oh, Councillor Stokes.
Thank you.
Chairman, it was agreed that site meeting be agreed, and then it will come back with the DEA councillors to the RTS committee for a decision at the next meeting. So probably there's two steps. One is a meeting of the DEA councillors and any members of the RTS committee that wants to attend, and then it will come back to it will come back to the RTS meeting in January to actually. To where members of the DEA Council would be invited along, because having attended the meeting, I know the concern was that really Councillor Taylor, I think, was the only DEA councillor at the meeting, so it was keen that, given the lot of discussion that had been on this issue, that DEA councillors and the RTS committee could hear the full discussion in full before they made a decision.
Councillor Taylor, you have indicated that you want to speak on the same item.
That's been clarified now.
Okay, so you're happy enough. Councillor Savage?
Yeah, Chair, I just want to raise an issue in relation to Barcroft Park. There's a couple of issues over the festive period. We have an ongoing trouble in relation to bin collections at 3rd Street in relation to access for the bin lorry. I understand.
Is this in the minutes?
It's full. Taken from falling off in the refuse centre and collections, Chair.
It's not actually in the minutes, Councillor Savage. If there's something like that, an individual item like that, if you want to raise it, is Liam still here? Liam Dinsmore? Liam Dinsmore is here in the back. If you want to raise it with him just after the meeting. That okay, Liam? Are you happy to speak to Councillor Savage about any issue like that? Okay. Anything else you want to raise, Councillor? No? Councillor Marnham?
Thanks, Chair. A couple of items. The business waste to the recycling centres. I'm glad that we now have that sorted out, and there's a bit of clarity on how small businesses can bring recyclable materials to the centres. And again, we've resolved the issue about the blue bins for business premises as well. But on a quick survey around Ballinahinch, no businesses in the town are aware that the council offer these facilities. So really what I want to say is how are we going to get that message out to business? Like, you know, it's important that we get all recyclable materials get to are kept away from landfill. You know, it's a cost reduction to council for this, so we need to get that message out to the business community that they can get a blue bin, or if they're a small business and they can take their materials to the recycling centre in the back of their car, they can do so without being challenged by the staff. I have another issue as well, but
I think, Chairman, you know, I don't know the details at the moment, but again, it'd be critical to get that message out, so I'll speak to the director about getting this communications on that basis.
And what was your other item then, Mr. Councillor Marnham?
Yeah, the other item is about off-street car parking.
That item was in committee.
Yeah, well, that's do you want to leave that to the end of the meeting?
Can we leave it to the end? We're going into committee at the end of the meeting for something else, so we'll just leave that to the end.
Yeah, have enough for that, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Traynor? Oh, sorry, no. Councillor Bourne, is your light on or are
it's
you?
It's all, it's fixed, Chair.
So you want to speak?
I do.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's on the refuse centre, and Councillor Carrick had raised about a query with the man in the van collecting and disposing of household waste, and I think it's a huge problem. And just when I see what's agreed here, the vehicles providing the collection and disposal service for household waste, bulky waste, would be sent to Newry or Camlagh, where payment must be made. If we're looking at the refuse centre that's in Cross Midland, and I've done it many times using a small van for people and for myself, of taking like washing machines and stuff, and they have the facilities to hold that there, to stop fly tipping and that, are we saying that I now have to drive to Newry and pay for disposing of that domestic waste for big appliances that you can't fit in the boot of the cab? Because I know in Cross and then Recycling Centre they're taking it, and rightly taking it, because there's a spot for electrical equipment in that. I think this information needs clarified with people.
Okay.
Because what it's going to do is, Chair, it's going to get people firing the washing machine and tumble dryer across the ditch, and we need to get clarification on this straight away, because people turn up Monday morning and they're told they can't put that there. Don't try to hear and pay.
Councillor Byrne, we're just waiting for Liam to come up so he can clarify. So, Liam, could you just clarify what the situation is going to be?
Yes, Councillor Byrne, yes, Councillor Byrne, you're taking the question. In the minutes as well, or the recommendation, we also advise that we are doing a full review in relation to this matter.
Yep.
So we're asking, and we will take all the necessary advice that we have. We're hoping that within the next few months we'll have a full response on this. But it is a big item. We'd like to have time to consider it before we make a definitive response.
Liam, can I put forward a proposal that while we're taking the time to take the review, that domestic waste can be taken at refuse centres, that we don't want to see appliances fired at the side of the road while the review has been taking place? I think it's fair just to let you know, there's only a couple of refuse centres across the district. We put out the word to say that if washing machines, tumble dryers, whatever turns up, it's not in your boot because it's not in your boot, we'll take them and don't send you near you for paying because people won't pay. And we've enough fly tipping. If anyone's seen the photos of Steve Gordon and the fly tipping off it, we don't want to encourage it.
What we're trying to discourage is totally is large vans with multiple units.
Yep.
So certainly, if we say, I am aware on occasion that some marked vans come in with a washing machine in them, and we don't really discourage that at this point, but certainly going forward, I think this whole matter needs to be looked at.
Okay. Okay, Councillor Traynor.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, it's really actually just continuing on from the point of accuracy around the bus shelter. I still feel that the way that the minutes are sitting at present, it could be very easily confused from the man looking in from the street. And I think that we do need to change the wording there, because you would almost think by looking at that, that the proposal, which was the first proposal made by Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Casey,
it has been clarified. Claim has already clarified it.
It's just it's the aesthetic of it. Sure.
Well, yeah. It has been clarified, and there's nothing more that we can do other than clarify. Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. And on the update for the new Civic Amenity Centre at Downpatrick, a note within the minutes that states that the report was circulated within the meeting itself around proposed timelines for the construction of such. Obviously, I'm not a member of that committee, so I would not have received the circulation of that. Would it be possible that that could be forwarded on to myself so I am aware of the time frame as well?
Yeah, okay, we'll take care of that, Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Clark had indicated to me he wanted to come in just before you, so I'm going to take Councillor Clark in.
All right, thanks, Chair, and thanks, Councillor Clark. Maybe address it to the officer, Liam. I raised on the night in regards to the caddies, brown caddies, being available as an action sheet item there. The item I wanted to raise that night also was in regards to the recyclable bags for the brown waste and the provision, making the provision at our public offices, our public buildings. Again, it's a bit of a communication issue. I think we need to, you know, get a communicate with the public and tell them exactly where they're at, that they're at our leisure centres, that they're at our recyclable centres. Because there's been a number of occasions, particularly my own area, like the Baton Road, where residents have went up and there is no plastic bags available, and the staff are saying we don't know where they are, you know. So I think there's a job of work there for engaging with the public and making sure, because it is a successful scheme, the demand is there. If people are going one hour to get them, it shows you that it's working, and we don't want to discourage them, you know. So I think we need a list of where the buildings are at or where the bags are at, and the recycling centres, and also in the public buildings. So we need a list of that.
Okay. Councillor Carr.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't sit in the RTS, but I have a bit of a concern about the car parking and the off-street car parking coming forward.
Councillor Carr, we have to deal with that in committee. Mm-hmm. So we have already agreed that we...
I'm not going to mention anything that might need to go into committee. All I'm saying is, as a councillor that doesn't...
If we're going to discuss it, honestly, it's one that was taken in committee, and we'll take it at the end of the meeting when we've gone through everything else. We'll take it in committee because it is a committee item, so we will do that at the end of the meeting, and I'll allow you in to speak, obviously, at that stage.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, councillors. Councillor McAteer.
Holding up. Very briefly, just on the Planning Committee Performance Report, just on the very last line of it, you talked about the older applications that are still hanging about. There's still 60 of them, so on that ratio, we'd expect them to get through. It'll take about 9 months to get through. But, I mean, I've come across some of them just by queries and discussion, it seems, and I would just like, if there was some sort of resume given on those to see what really is holding them up, because I suspect some of them hold up are the most sort of harmless reasons, or maybe, you know, very reasons of very little importance. So I think it would be helpful. One time before, our planning officer produced a list we were to look at and see whether we wanted to dealt with or not, but it would be very useful maybe to get those last 60 a quick resume of what's going on with them and have a quick look at them in some of the committees.
Chairman, they're certainly not non-contentious, not problematic. The very fact that they've been sitting, some of them have been sitting for 10 years is because there's highly contentious issues regarding some of them, but certainly we can get a resume. We are actually working through them. We've given them a target to really clear these out of the system by the end of the month, but certainly they are fairly complex applications.
Okay, councillors, we will move on then to the information regarding correspondence and conferences. Item 11 was the correspondence received from the Permanent Secretary O'Reilly regarding universal credit. Laura.
Thank you very much, Chair. If you recall, this is from my notice of motion that was tabled in November's meeting. I think I do welcome the additional support for claimants here in Northern Ireland over and above what is provided across the water. However, I would be concerned about who decides which claimants get this support, as that support isn't actually detailed or enshrined in the legislation. There's no criteria. So really it appears to be the discretion of the Jobs and Benefits Officer who's actually dealing with that individual, which to me is very ambiguous, because somebody maybe in one part of the north could be getting a different service or a different level of deemed to be getting support than someone in another area. We've already seen and heard of the devastation of PIP and the huge disparities that there are when it comes to the actual assessments. And just this weekend, we heard from our deputy leader, Nicola Mallon, about the department actually telling people that if they want to go and get their assessments recorded, they can pay for the audio recording themselves. This is vulnerable people we're talking about. This is really is just absolutely shocking. So despite the letter from the Permanent Secretary, I still feel deeply concerned when universal credit hits this council area and hits us come spring or summer this year, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, councillor. Item 12
Just more or less on this, that I do support my colleagues' concerns, and with universal credit going to minute, I just think that there's more questions than answers in relation to this benefit, and I just dread the introduction of it coming and the impact that's going to have on people, because you'll see food banks, the demand on food banks go through the roof, and especially whenever we see it first hand PIPs, that will never affect itself on people in society who need help being PIPed. But as I said, do support my colleagues' calls in relation to universal credit.
Okay, Councillor Andrews. We move on to item number 12, the correspondence received from the Educational Authority regarding the closure of Ardnavanan Outdoor Educational Centre.
Yes, ma'am.
Councillor Traynor.
Chair, really just to say that having brought the motion on the night, this almost feels like a slap in the face. We're not really getting any answers to any of the questions we had asked. And at the minute, it looks like the EA are the only people who are confident about this model. Parents aren't confident, teachers aren't confident, youth workers aren't confident, staff members aren't confident. Nobody else seems to be confident about this. So it just flies in the wind of what the concerns are. It really just seems as if they're not listening to the people, they're not listening to us. Who are they going to listen to? The only comments I can make, Chair, really.
Okay, Councillor Marnham.
Yeah, just following on with what John has said, there no reduction in service delivery. The Ardnavanan site is the only site capable of doing residential in the quantity that's needed by the schools. One school in particular, I know the headmaster has told me, he has nowhere else to take for the children to go tonight. It was the only place that could accommodate them in the numbers. So for for Dr. Mannion to reply in that way, you know, it's completely wrong, and I think we should call right on that.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Walker.
Chair, on the same issue, I agree with the two previous speakers. I think it's wrong. The losers here are going to be our young people, our kids. Now, I do welcome the fact that Delamont has been secured, and they're going to enhance Delamont. So they are. I welcome that. We were given assurances at a meeting with the Education Authority that there'd be no job losses in the two centres in Killyleagh. So there wasn't, but that doesn't take away from the fact that there's a possibility here that it's going to impact not just on young people that come to Ardnabannan and use it as a residential, but will impact on people's jobs as well. Where are then people going to be re-set up? Where are they going to get jobs within the Education Authority? Are they going to have to travel 20, 30, 40 miles? I think it's wrong. It's a centre that has put thousands upon thousands of young people through their doors and worked up friendships right across the political divide, and we can't miss that it brought communities together, not just Ardnabannan. Delamont, Killyleagh and elsewhere has brought communities together at a very young age, and that's what the Education Authority preaches, with bringing communities together. So they do, whether it's through education, outdoor education or whatever, and I think it's wrong. So it is that Ardnabannan has been sacrificed here, and I'm totally, totally opposed to it. So I am, but as I say, you know, on one hand, I'm totally opposed to that. I welcome the fact that Delamont is going to be enhanced, and they will hopefully be working with Newry Moreland Down Council in relation to that.
Okay. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And I do support the calls made by the previous speakers in recent hours in the Valley, you know, and we do agree definitely work. A lot of good work has been done at Ardnabannan over so many years. You know, in the fact, as it was touched on, you have the community relations, you have talking about healthy lifestyles, and you know, we've heard that much about healthy lifestyles that pass away with obesity levels in kids, etc. And you know, exactly a lot of those concerns that the government are espousing with what they're doing with Ardnabannan's flying in the face of that curve. But I do support the concerns, and if there's any way that, you know, that members can have an opportunity of meeting the Education Authority face to face, I would strongly encourage that opportunity, if it's available, for them to take it up with the Education Authority direct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Item 13 is the correspondence received from the Ulster Bank regarding the closure of Killyleagh branch. Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And this is one that I'm not too pleased about, in a sense, where the Ulster Bank has said they're closing. But what has annoyed me, really, is that we have sought a meeting, and we will be getting a meeting, I'm led to believe, Council. I do know the Member of Parliament has been afforded a meeting, and I will be accompanying him on that, along with Councillor Andrews, because he had asked as well. When that meeting takes place, and I think it's on the 18th, of this month. But what annoyed me was that when I lifted the planning schedule, they had an application on to withdraw the ATM in Killyleagh before they consulted with anybody, before they even met with anybody. They had the planning application in to this council to remove it and place it where a window. Now, if we weren't getting Killyleagh Bank retained as it was, one of our arguments was to keep the ATM within that town. Now, they couldn't even wait till they had meetings. And that's showing nothing but contempt for the people that use that bank. The people that use that bank have been treated with contempt. I've been a user there for 35 years. And I have been treated with contempt because of what they've done. So they have, and I think it's wrong. They could have waited until after they had the meetings with the Member of Parliament and this Council before they make any decisions and withdrawing anything, such as the ATMs. And I tell you, I'm not too happy when I lifted the planning schedule that came through to see that the removal of the ATM in Killyleagh was on that schedule.
Okay. Okay, Councillor Walker, your concerns will be noted.
Councillor Andrews.
Madam Chairperson, again, I do follow on the sentiments of the previous speaker in relation to the closure of Kildare Branch. You know, as is in relation, like, Kildare Branch has not been on its own. Over this past lot of years in the Rowallan electoral area, we've seen Cross Gar closing, Sinfield has closed, Kildare's closed. It's just like a dominoes, you know, one domino's just fallen, the whole lot will go with it, you know. And the site, you know, online banking and modern technology is one of the main reasons that people are not going over the branch doors. But on the previous occasion, this motion was before council. We did speak about the detrimental effect it will have on the communities. You know, it will rip the heart out of the community. Once the bank goes, the heart of the community goes with it. And in relation to an ATM, with the proposed withdrawal of that facility, I think it's quite disappointing, because you have people who have no transport. You have to, you know, no transport of their own, they have to drop on the bus and go to Down Patrick or whatever. But again, I think that the major banks also included that before that they do pull their shutters down for good in the likes of Kildare, that they should have a fail safe option in place, that many of their customers who have been loyal for so many years are not left inconvenienced. I think more or less in a lot of cases it's profit before people. So again, as I say, I look forward to the opportunity of mentioning to also about what exactly feelings on the matter. But again, closures know no boundaries here, and I say Kildare will be the first and won't be the last. But
okay, Councillor, thank you for your comments. We move on to item 14, the correspondence received from the Northern Ireland Public Service Ombudsman's Office. Everybody happy? Item 15, the Conference on Education Policy in Northern Ireland. Conference is, all the details are there. Anybody, any thoughts, desires to go? No? Okay. Item 16 is the National Association of Councillors Environmental Conference in Leeds.
Sorry, Chair. Just for the last one, I was asleep there. See if nobody goes.
Don't fall asleep, it's too late.
See if nobody goes. Can we get the slides from them, from the education one, because they're very helpful.
Yeah.
And item 16 was the NSC conference, and you have the details there in front of you. Councillor Andrews, are you looking in? Okay.
Just, Chairman, conscious of the cost here, you know, the fee £350 plus travel plus accommodation costs. So again, from a budget point of view, is we need to know, you know, exact members that are going. You know, and the council of the conference is on in January. So I'd be keen that if any C members are going, that we agree that any C members would come back to us within the next day, that the next 24 hours, that if they want to come with them, if Council Walker's happy to agree to that. Well, Councillor Andrews has expressed an interest, so if any member goes back by close of play tomorrow, and then we'll make the book, and anything after that, there's too late, Chairman.
Okay, so Councillor Burgess has expressed
interest. And Councillor Andrews.
Okay. Okay. Okay, folks, we move on to item 17, which is going to be taken in committee. I appreciate that we have we have other items which are going to be taken into committee first. So we need a proposer and a seconder to go into. We need a proposer and a seconder. We're just waiting on the press. You better leave now before I speak Liam up. This item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act. the information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information. So we have a proposer and a seconder to go into committee, Councillor Rouen and Councillor Burgess, and we...
We are two agreements, just the two of them, isn't it?
Just can we just before everybody escapes, we just need to rubber stamp this to make sure. Mickey Rouen seconded, and then there was an amendment by Councillor Savage, which was accepted by Councillor Clark.
We're just going to
That we accept the recommendations as set out in the report to change the name of RTS Directorate to Neighbourhood Services Directorate, to proceed to recruit the Director of Neighbourhood Services post, and to extend the appointment of the interim director up until the end of June 2018. And the interviewing panel will remain the same. To appoint those councillors who participated in the previous recruitment exercise for the panel will remain the same for that. With a view to reviewing the status created, the new structures created being reviewed 12 months after the appointment of the new director. So everybody is happy with that. The car parking, we are out of the closed section, and we have deferred that, and we will be
proposed by Councillor Mernon
and seconded by Councillor Carr. I think it was Councillor Carr. You seconded to defer the decision on the car parks, and there will be a meeting held next week to try and bring that to a resolution. Okay, that's it. Good night.